a rational decision would have been to try something else instead of so keep going. But I had this.
Yeah, he had a vision.
Patience. I'm not sure what the correct word is. Stubbornness is maybe more.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Scaling DevTools. I'm joined today by Anders Borum, who is the creator of the Working Copy app. And this is our first episode with a developer tool that's a mobile app. So I'm super excited. Thank you so much, Anders, for joining.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks. And shout out to Rauno, my app development guru friend, who was like, you have to talk to Anders about developer tools on the Apple Store. So Anders, could you tell us a bit about Working Copy?
Yes. So Working Copy is a Git client for iPhone and iPad, and Git being this version controls tool that so many developers use. So it just brings this to your mobile device, really.
This episode is brought to you by WorkOS. At some point, you're going to land a big customer and they're going to ask you for enterprise features. That's where WorkOS comes in, because they give you these features out the box. Features like skim provisioning, SAML authentication, and audit logs. They have an easy-to-use API, and they're trusted by big dev tools like Vercel, as well as smaller, fast-growing dev tools like Nock. So if you're looking to cross the enterprise chasm and make yourself enterprise-ready, check out WorkOS. We've also done an episode with Michael, the founder of WorkOS, where he shares a lot of tips around crossing the enterprise chasm, landing your first enterprise deals, and making sure that you're ready for them. Thanks, WorkOS, for sponsoring the podcast, and back to the show. That's awesome. And I already have my feelings on this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So what is the difference versus, like, say, the GitHub app?
Yeah, so the GitHub app is sort of mostly for the communication aspects, and Working Copy is for working with the files, sort of with the content of the repository itself.
What would be like a typical use case?
Yeah, so very few people are doing full scale development on their phone. So they use Working Copy to look at things in the repository when they're sort of away from their regular desktop computer, or to make small changes. Then sort of other people are using it for non-developer purposes, sort of using it for blocking and stuff like that. And it can fulfill that, but so the Git kind of, it's sort of, it's one piece in a tool chain, and a lot of the other pieces are not, they're not on the iPhone, they're not on the iPad. So so it's not sort of, this is a complement to people that use Git on their regular computer as well.
That makes sense. And even like small stuff I've noticed you can't really do in the GitHub app. Like, I'm not sure if you can do this, but like even just adding someone to a repo, like it's very, GitHub app seems to be very like, you're consuming information, you're not really doing anything.
Yeah. So I think they just want a lightweight sort of look at your repositories.
Yeah. And how did you get started?
Yeah. So I think I started by misreading the market back in 2014.
That's the best way.
Yeah. I had made regular consumer apps for a few years. And there were sort of new capabilities on iOS where it felt like the platform was sort of maturing, becoming a full-scale computing platform. Apps could sort of speak to each other, share files and stuff like that. So I imagined that it was a matter of a few years and people would be using their, especially their iPad for sort of full scale computing, and developer tools would be there and everything would be there. And a Git client was of course needed. So I started working on that. So wanting to be early, it didn't pan out that way. There were sort of policy limitations where developer tools were not allowed to, I can't remember the details, but you couldn't build a compiler, for example. You couldn't publish it. This on the App Store, you weren't allowed to run binary code that wasn't approved. So it's weird limitations. It didn't hit me directly, but of course it hit me indirectly because all the other pieces of the tool chain were blocked.
So there's no category?
Yes, yeah, so not at this point. And it was... and there was around the same time there was Python IDEs and people tried to make cool stuff, but just fighting with Apple, fighting to get approved. So it dampened the whole category.
Yeah. So, and then once you kind of got it out, did people start using it in it like immediately, or was it like a?
I did get some. There were a few users, but it was a little slow. But I had this hope, of course, that this was, I was ahead of the curve and as other developer tools appeared, the need for a Git client would sort of increase. And it did in some way, but not nearly as much as I had hoped. But now, 10 years later, so I think I do have sufficient users and the app is a success. But my sort of, my strategy back in 2014, it was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you, so like in your strategy, maybe you would be GitHub right now, but like you still built like a great business, a great app. I know Raul knows like Anders is doing really well. So like, I know it's panned out well. How do you think, like, what do you think were like the biggest contributors to like you getting to the point you're at now?
Yes, I think patience, sort of, or maybe I'm not sure what the correct word is. But sort of, stubbornness is maybe more. but I think
you had a vision.
Yes, and I think looking at the early numbers. A rational decision would have been to try something else instead of sort of keep going. But I made a living from consulting. So it didn't need to sort of bring in a lot of money, the first few years. Slowly I could see it growing, of course. So that made it worthwhile.
I think my favorite meme of all time is like, we do this not because it is easy, but because we thought it would be easy. it's really cool. So most people listening probably are like me in that we don't really know very much about like App Store marketing. How do you get users in the App Store?
This is sort of one of my internal struggles. So the App Store is great for mass market products, and a Git client for your pocket computer is not a mass market product. So I think it ends up being word of mouth and not so much the App Store itself. It's developers talking to each other, me sort of shouting from every social media, stuff like that. But I think the App Store itself, even though I can sort of, if you search for Git, my app appears, but many potential users would never think to search for Git in the App Store because they don't think and they need this. It's a patch the door, but perhaps they do, but they would never even try to search for it. So.
Yeah. So do you have kind of like a typical journey of like when they do, like it's like their friend says to them, you have to have working copy.
Yeah. So I love that. And I think that does happen a lot. So it slowly spreads. And I think the app is, I think we put in a lot of work and some of the projects we work on are so dear to us. So I also think that working copy, just having for a developer to be able to carry around their work with them and have a look at it, even if they don't do it all that often, is sort of, it is a value to them. It is something that they like, and it appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's for, that totally makes sense. Like, it's like you haven't got to take your laptop with you on a trip because you know that, like, if something really hits the fan, you could use Working Copy on your phone to make a small change or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool. And how about like monetization and stuff in the App Store?
Because Working Copy, it is a complementary tool. It's very few of our users have sort of, this is not their one Git client. This is sort of their other Git client. So I can be, I need to be super careful about charging users. So I think most professional tools on iOS are subscription-based. A pricing model that the users really, that they like, I can't force them. If I charge too much money or a recurring subscription or something they don't like, they'll just choose their laptop. I think my tool is sort of, it's something they have to like it because they don't need it as such. So I have the users pay for the app. And after a year, as sort of new features appear, they can pay again, but they can also sort of not pay again and not get the new feature. So the app is, it's sort of sitting between two chairs. It's not a subscription because they're not forced to sort of subscribe. But they do have to pay for the app and they do have to pay for the features, but they have this sort of, they can pay and then stop paying and the app just sort of stops improving.
Mm. How much do they pay?
I think it's $30 around, maybe 32. Yeah. And if they, after this year, if they want the new features, then it's half that to sort of upgrade. Mm. So it's sort of, I'm looking at it. So feature-wise, when are the features added? And so it's this weird mix. You could call it the closest it's this kind of sketch did it in the early days, where you purchase the app and you got a year's worth of updates.
Yeah.
And after this year, you could keep using the last update. So this is what I'm aiming for.
Yeah.
But I think most professional iOS apps, they charge a subscription, and it would be great for me if I could do that. But because this is it's the second Git client for most of my users, it's too risky.
And just to be clear, when you say second Git client, you mean like primary is like that they're just doing it from their computer?
Exactly. So yeah. So my competition isn't other apps. My competition is
command line,
exactly, or Git clients on your regular computer.
Do you do a kind of Mac app of Working Copy as well?
So I have one running in sort of development builds, but it's not nice enough to publish. But it's something I'm working towards because that has sort of increased utility, and I could do very different pricing, I think, on a Mac client.
Mm, yeah, who pays actually for? Is it a business expense for most people, or is it like a?
I think it's a personal expense for most people. I think it's a little bit difficult to get for businesses to purchase apps for their employees. It's more difficult than it should be, really.
Yeah.
And this plays into the same. So this is also why the users need to want to pay, because they are, it's very much sort of voluntary and out of their own pocket.
Yeah, it's kind of hard, I guess, with like the App Store as well. I imagine like as a person, as like a consumer, I wouldn't even know, okay, how would I, yeah, how would I go about that? Like, I'd have to get my boss to like buy a subscription somewhere and send me a code, or like, it's, I guess it's hard to know how that would work, or I just have to do an expense report.
There are sort of, there are special ways to do it, but
yeah.
I think either you need to sort of reach enterprise customers and sort of sell to the whole fleet of devices for some company. And that would be great, of course, but requires sales muscle that I don't have at all. Or it becomes sort of, you have to sort of get a refund on the purchase.
I'm kind of fascinated by you're in the same mastermind with Rauno, right? You're in. Mm-hmm. So yes. Could you talk a bit about this mastermind that you're in?
Yeah. So we're just a bunch of people with different apps, and Rauno has so many and I have a few and some of the participants and one. And we have very different levels also sort of financially. Some are doing extremely well. And,
yeah. Some are making like millions, right? Like
it's
millions.
It's, yeah.
It's like one person developer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course all our apps do different stuff. So it's hard to sort. So we can help each other. So on these app store specific things, but it becomes a little bit difficult. So, on every app is its own domain and, but with stuff about Apple and about the app store and how to try to get noticed, we can help each other out there.
Yeah. Have you got any like the things that come to mind that you've like kind of gone to the group with and then what you kind of took away from it? Be kind of curious.
So one thing I'll say is that, so the big difference in the app store is also what kind of user are you targeting? So if you're targeting developers like me, then you're just in a very different situation than if you're doing something, you're doing a game or
calculator.
Yeah. So if one of them is doing sort of a weightlifting app, then many of his sort of struggles will be sort of very different from the ones I'm seeing. So, and his users would be sort of, they have different needs and you reach them in a different way, of course.
Yeah.
And so there are a few things that sort of where we are sort of, that we can help each other and where we have the same problems, but maybe 90% of things are sort of,
interesting.
It is different worlds, even though we are both making apps for sort of mobile devices.
So is it just kind of constant uncharted territory or just trying stuff?
I think there's some of that. So you look at what other people are doing and what other, I look inside my category and see what is the cool stuff being done by other developer tools? What are the good ideas? What don't I like? And of course, I navigate based on. So it isn't all, it's not totally uncharted. But there's a bit of that. You try something, see if the user likes it, and try something else when they don't.
And when you say like try something, see if the user likes it, like are you talking about kind of like new features or is it like just a different way of doing the same thing or is it like just moving stuff around or like how?
Yes. It could be superficial stuff like changing how the app is presented on the app store, sort of the screenshot shown, but it could also be sort of trying to take the app in a new direction. So this new feature, opening something up. And depending on sort of what my analytics show, I might remove it again, really extreme, or just sort of not do much more. But of course, it gets usage, then it'll be improved and expanded.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think it's important. So the users, even though they're maybe just using the app for sort of a few things, it seems to be important that there needs to be meaningful improvements pretty often, or they sort of lose confidence in the app. So I do need to, it needs to grow sort of feature wise or at least change, or the users will think I forgot about it or I'm doing something else. And it will reflect on my download number and my sales.
How do you know if something was good?
I know I get sort of direct user feedback on, Mastodon and just emails.
So you have a community?
Yeah, sort of. So yeah. A little small community.
Nice.
But also I measure sort of in broad strokes what the users are doing. That will tell me if nobody is doing something, then maybe it's not very good or too hidden or something like that.
What's like the best change you ever made?
Yeah, so it sounds it sounds strange, but so it's just repositories or Git repositories are just sort of directories with all your stuff. The most sort of impactful improvement I made to the app was just to allow these repositories to sit outside the app itself, so inside other apps. So it could be sort of maybe they're using something like Obsidian to manage their nodes, and they wanted to be a repository as well, be able to do that. So it's
that's cool.
It is about cooperating with the other apps the users have on their device.
Yeah, that doesn't sound silly at all. I thought you were going to say the best thing you ever did was like, I don't know, change like the subject line on the.
Yeah, but the silly thing is that this is sort of a Git client on any other platform would be like this from the first version, but it's just the way iPhone and iPad apps are sort of generally built. Everything's living inside
its own little world,
sort of a document folder in the app. But yeah, changing that made a huge difference.
I've got to ask the reverse: like, what was the worst? What was the worst change you ever made that you were like, okay, I got to change that back?
Yeah, so. I wasn't actually able to change it back because if I added a feature that sort of allowed running SSH commands, so it's running sort of commands on your server with the files inside the app, and it would upload the entire repository, it would sort of run the file on the server and then fetch back everything that changed. And of course, this was in frustration with the much of the developer toolchain being missing from the devices. Once I added this feature, there was sort of no way to take it back because people are already using it, but it was just, they want more and it sort of, so it's, and it wasn't meant to be a core feature of the app. It's, the app is supposed to be a Git client and
yeah,
about committing and pushing and stuff like that. And suddenly it became about managing your SSH servers and different ways to sync files and
yeah. So maybe it should have been like a separate app or something.
Yeah, and I ended up doing that. So I ended up making an app for that. And then every time I get requests on how this should be more flexible or do stuff in different, I can point them to a sort of dedicated tool because it was just, yeah, it was a small feature that sort of just grew like a
ballooned.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Do you have like a kind of a launch strategy or something like that when you're going to do like a new app?
It's very basic really. So I have newsletters for my apps. And I start to tease my new products maybe a few months before they're ready. Just when I'm right about the time where sort of beta testing starts. So I collect the list of users that are interested. And then when I'm ready to launch, they get an email. So it's very old school, but I think it works. And if the apps are useful, then slowly the word gets out.
Okay, that's really cool. So you kind of got like a brand, like people associate you with making apps that they like.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So when I launch a new app, you can sort of, there'll be a few days where I have many more sort of sales than I have people starting a trial, which would be weird, right? Because you want to see if, is this even working?
Yeah.
But I think if people just sort of, they just want it. So that's, of course, that's a privilege. That's very nice. But I think just sort of making something useful, keeping it updated over many years and taking user feedback seriously, then slowly but surely, people will trust your work. So even the new work.
Yeah, it must be a great app if people are like really, really trusting you. I need to try it myself. I realized the limitations of the GitHub app. It's great, but it's really, very simple. One kind of offbeat question. We don't have many like mobile developers on the show. What, if any, developer tools do you use that you really like?
iOS developers, they need to use Xcode. That's not really a choice. That's all that the Apple IDE. But then I use VS Code.
Interesting. VS Code.
Yeah. BBEdit is a Mac editor I really like.
BBEdit.
Yeah. And on the Mac, I use, for sort of my own Git purposes, I use either Tower, it's a Git client, or just the command line. So.
Do you use any of like Revenue Cat or anything like that?
I don't. I did. It looks super useful, but somehow I
you've already solved it all.
Yeah. So maybe if they'd been there back in 2014, I would definitely have used them. But I solved all the, I did the work. And then I think they're focused on subscriptions. And that's a bad fit for working copy.
And how about like deployments, like CI/CD stuff? Do you use any of those tools? There's a few.
Not really. So I do. I use GitHub Actions for sort of for building some of the libraries I'm using. So deployment too. So I deliver the apps in a special signed format for Apple.
Yeah, interesting. It sounds like all the stuff that you use is like you haven't got too many subscriptions yourself.
That is true.
It's like your philosophy from like working copy is like the same as like your philosophy in like your tool choices, I guess.
Yeah. So I think with regards to subscriptions, I remember this is many years ago now, but JetBrains, they make a bunch of developer tools. When they switched from the sort of their original sort of paid ones, could use it for, you could update for a while. They switched to subscription. There was just such, the users got really angry. And I think developers are more opposed to subscriptions for the tool they run on their machines. I think it's, if you know there's a service run somewhere and crunching numbers or storing data, that's a different situation. But stuff, so you download the application, it runs on your Mac or it runs on your whatever computer you're using. Many developers will be opposed to subscription. So you really need, you want to need to force them to. So I could just see if JetBrains that make huge deep tools that are sort of used all day, all night by some developers, and still they sort of resist it, then I cannot make a much smaller tool. They have an alternative on their laptop. So that's really one of the reasons I'm avoiding subscriptions.
It makes sense. Anders, I think that's all we've got time for. If you had like one piece of advice for someone that was like thinking of doing like a developer tool app, what would it be?
I do like making these tools. And I like the sort of the space I carved out for myself on the App Store. I think perhaps I made it so my life would have been easier, I think, just focusing on a traditional software as a service. I think the App Store is sort of, it's a difficult market, I think. Mm. So if you do it, you should do it because you absolutely want to, because it will not be the easiest way to make a living.
Yeah. Okay. The advice is maybe don't.
No, that's what they have. Maybe. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice. And if people want to learn more about you, where can they learn more?
I'm Palmin, Palmin on Twitter, and they can learn about Working Copy at workingcopy.app. Yeah, and they can write me an email or a tweet or something like that, and I will respond. And yeah,
amazing. Maybe one person will be saved from taking their laptop on holiday with them for discovering Working Copy. Yeah. Anders, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you again soon.